long, not a real long, but the introduction will be longer maybe than the message itself. I'll give you a few thoughts this morning. As we've been preaching through the gospel according to Mark, we're in Mark 5. We preached our way down through the end of verse number 20. Let's pick up in verse 21. The Bible said, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. She said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. He suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. He come into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. What a story. Amen. What an event in the life of the Lord. Display of his power and his compassion, not only upon these individuals, but as an illustration of his power and his compassion to you and I. Ain't you glad we got a Savior that cares? When we have needs, he can do something about it. And there ain't nobody like him today. You can be seated. Let's pray together and I'll give you our thought. Heavenly Father, this morning, we understand in the name of the Lord Jesus, we have the privilege to be able to pray to you. We understand this morning our own weaknesses, our own frailties, our own inabilities. Lord, we also know this and are assured in our heart that, Lord, our God can help us today. Lord, I need help. Lord, is the voice, the mouthpiece of God in declaring what you've laid upon our heart. Lord, I need help, Lord, to be able to communicate these things in a way that would be a help, Lord, and a blessing to the people of God. Lord, we know today that we as hearers of truth and of the Word of God need the help of the Lord. Would you Open our ear and our hearts, Lord, to hear and to listen and to receive and to be doers of the Word of God, Lord, today. I pray that, Lord, on this opening service of the new year, would you help us to make much of the Lord Jesus. Lord, our goal, Lord, is to magnify Him as great as we can today. Lord, I pray that He'd be seen, Lord, by every eye and in every heart. Lord, may He be magnified. May He appear, Lord, as glorious and powerful and able, Lord, as He is to work in our life. We pray today for anyone this year that's lost, that, Lord, the Spirit of the Lord would, Lord, begin to move upon their heart, Lord, as the songs have been sung and prepared, Lord, the atmosphere, Lord, for a time of preaching ministry. Lord, I pray the Spirit of the Lord would do a work in that sinner's heart. Lord, draw them, and Lord, may they be saved, Lord, before it's eternally too late. May, Lord, they be aware of their need. May they be aware of the lateness of the hour. Lord, I pray, may they be, Lord, aware of the fact that Jesus is the only way. Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit would lead them to abandon themselves and their sin, and Lord, the direction of their life, Lord, to embrace the saving power of the Lord Jesus that would change their life. Lord, for all that you've done in sinner and saint, seen or unseen, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We've read in these verses today of two separate events that are culminated into one scene, into one matter. I'm only interested this morning particularly in this matter of the coming of this man by the name of Jairus on behalf of his 12-year-old daughter that has been sick, and ultimately in the course of the story as we've read it this morning, she dies, and Christ comes to this man's house, much like in when he was sent on behalf of Lazarus to come to Bethany. Before the Lord arrived, Lazarus died, and yet that was no small task for the Lord to raise the dead in this situation, in Lazarus' situation, or even in the story of the widow of Nain, whose son had died and had already been laid in the bier and was headed outside of town to the graveyard. Death does not have power beyond that our Savior has today. And so when we consider this is one of those resurrection miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of three particular and specific ones apart from His own, where He would raise His own life, would be the greatest of them all. But there are three occasions, and this brings us likely to the first time somebody was raised from the dead in the life of our Savior. So we'll preach through this morning. I'm interested in this when he gets to the house. And all that is taking place, we find when Jairus comes to the Lord, he comes in great faith. He said, Lord, she's sick and she's nigh unto death, and yet, Lord, I believe that if you will come and you will heal her, that she shall live. And what a demonstration of faith that was in this man to intercede on behalf of his daughter. And Jesus is responding to that request. He's making his way there. The interruption of the woman with the issue of blood takes place, and seemingly because Christ gave her attention and her time and met a need in her life, the hour grew late for this 12-year-old girl, and now she's dead. We make our way here to verse number 38. We find that he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And when Christ gets there, it is filled with mournful tones. It is filled with what the Bible said, them that wept and wailed greatly. This would seem to be, according to this verse, in light of what we know is taking place, that this would be befitting of such a condition and in such a circumstance, that bereavement and grief and death has touched his home, and now it is filled with weeping and wailing and sadness and grief, and being overwhelmed by the loss of such a young life. Yet Christ, seeing this from a completely different standpoint, if you will, the Bible said, and this should give us our thought here this morning, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? An interesting question the Lord poses, Brother Jack, to this crowd that has lost a family member, has lost a friend, has lost a young person in their community. And Christ would look at them and say, why make ye this ado and weep? The answer would seem obvious. We've lost this precious soul. This precious life has been taken too early, and now we are disturbed and we are weeping and in bereavement and in grief. We cry our tears and make this show of sadness because of the circumstance. Now, as we consider this word ado, this word that Christ uses literally means to be in tumult. That was referenced in verse 38 as what he immediately saw when he entered into the house. The word ado can mean to disturb or clamor, to set in an uproar. And Christ, in using the word ado, is referencing the extreme emotion and the extreme drama that had been set on display surrounding this event. We understand that in our funerals here in America and our society, they are filled with soberness and a solemnness about them. And we don't carry on. I have seen folk carry on. I've seen young widows climb up on top of the casket and gravesides in a show of grief and great bereavement. I'm thinking about a funeral service I was in here probably 7 years ago or so in another church facility, and helping do that funeral service, and how the family and the friends worked themselves up into a frenzy, and maybe a lot of the same display as what I envisioned was going on in this very text. But for the most part, our funerals, they are filled with tears and crying, and yet there's not a real outburst of emotion to the degree we'll describe here in just a moment. Christ is asking them, why make ye this ado? Why are you in this state? Why has it reached this level of drama? And you'll understand when you began to study the culture in which this took place, that in times of tragedy and in times of loss and of bereavement, that many times in that Jewish culture, they had what they called mourners or weepers. And these would be delegates from the community. They oftentimes would be paid a certain stipend to show up, and there they would weep and they would wail, and they would carry on this great, extravagant, large-scale demonstration of sadness and bereavement. There was three characteristics of these paid, and I will call them phony mourners at Jewish funerals. And they, first of all, would carry on and display a acting of grief by rending their garments. Literally, they would come in the house and begin to tear their clothes over their heart in a show of great grief. This would be followed by making weeping and mournful sounds, and they would start out in low tones, and before it was over, they would be in full-blown crying and mourning and just screaming to the top of their lungs in a display of phony sadness and bereavement. This would be followed by, according to this same account that Matthew gave of this event, there would be minstrels that would come in and begin to play flutes and different instruments with sad emotional
tones that would be in them to whip up the family and to whip up the community into a great chaos so that it would just continue to grow and get louder and louder and more emotional and more outbursts. And these were phony paid actors that were called mourners. This is what Christ has arrived to in Jairus' house. This scene was one of chaos and one of mayhem. When he gets to this house, this girl, she's not been dead long. I don't believe, according to the text, she has not been dead long, but she's been dead long enough. And my friend, there is much ado that is being made. Christ sees through their drama and he sees through their phoniness. And he asked them the question, why make ye this ado and weep? Jesus, I do not believe, is belittling the circumstance. He understands the girl has been sick. He understands the concern of the father. He understands that, my friend, the brokenheartedness of the mother. He understands that with loss and death, there comes a grief and a sadness, and tears are made. But the Lord, though he's not belittling the circumstance, he is belittling the chaos that they have whipped themselves into by having a lack of faith in the Son of God to do something. This is a crowd that, amen, now they're being paid a stipend, but they are lovers of drama. Amen. They love the drama. They love the attention. They love to take something that is legitimate and something to be concerned about and then magnify it and blow it out of proportion. Amen. To the place where there's an uproar and the way they are responding is not proportionate to that and they are going through, or may I say, amen, in proportion of that Christ can do, amen, in what they are going through. There is a statement, and I have used this because I picked it up along the way, and I've heard others use it, and we'll draw our thought from this morning. It's the phrase, amen, they're making much ado about nothing. They're making much ado about nothing. How many of y'all have heard that before? Amen. Making much ado, making ado about nothing. And we've all used that. This phrase was the title. Now, Brother Tim gave us a history lesson. I'm going to give you a literature lesson. Amen. This is why you need to come to a church that, amen, has a brilliant Sunday school teacher and pastor. You'll learn something, all right? Amen. And so listen to some things about literature. Amen. This phrase was the title of one of William Shakespeare's well-known plays all the way back in 1599. And this phrase, much ado about nothing, was assimilated into our English language as a result of the title of that play. And I'll be honest, I hated literature when I was coming through high school. Hey, man, I don't, if they told us about much ado about nothing, but Jack, I probably missed it that day sleeping in the corner. Hey, man, I didn't get a hold of it, but according to what I read, it was a comedy that William Shakespeare did as a play, and it was so well known and acted in such a way that what he was illustrating in that play, hey, man, was people that were just going way overboard reacting to things that were going on in their life. And in fact, if you study this phrase, that as it has evolved in our English language, it's used to describe someone overreacting and making a big deal of fuss over something that is unimportant or in the end turns out to be different, amen, than that they thought it was going to be. And so I want to preach this morning on the story of Jairus and his wife and their little child and what the Lord did And I want to preach just on that phrase, much ado about nothing. We're living in a generation that, hey man, people are not paid a financial stipend, but they are paid with attention by being filled with drama. Things go on in their life, and maybe they're even legitimate things, but the way that they weep and wail and respond is, especially in the life of a child of God, is not proportionate, amen, to that our God is big enough to handle the things we're going through. Amen, listen. Amen, just because you're going through something today does not mean that's the end of your world. Amen, nobody owes you any attention. Nobody owes you, amen, a large amount of drama. Amen, to partake in the drama of your life. Amen, we see it. But Tim referenced social media today. Amen, and by and large, that is just all filled with drama and people making much ado about nothing. Amen, and it is amazing the things that, amen, people put on there and trying to get a reaction from people that are in their little friend circle that, amen, so they can get some likes and thumbs up and retweets and, amen, I don't even know all the lingo. That's about the extent of what I know. Amen, and it's just a bunch of making ado about nothing. Amen, they ain't getting paid money, they're getting paid with attention. And that's why they keep making ado and making chaos and making, amen, all of it is look at me and look at what I'm going through and, amen, making a clamor and an uproar. Amen, amen. I don't mean that I ain't trying to preach on and against social media this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to, amen, learn that whatever we're going through, amen, we don't have to be like the phony actors in our text today. Amen. In fact, I believe this morning that Jairus and his wife, amen, and Peter and James and John, they are the antithesis, amen, of the crowd that was making much ado. Amen. In particular, I want to focus in upon Jairus this morning. Amen. Because when I read his story, Brother A.L., he is the father in this text who has a burden for his little daughter. Amen. He needs her healed and then he needs her raised from the dead. And yet, my friend, he never made an ado. He never joined in the drama. I see a man who, amen, really, really had faith that Christ was able. Amen, I see a man that maybe, amen, throughout the context of the story, amen, is maybe even swayed at times or is wavering at times or, amen, is on the verge at times of, amen, letting fear grip his heart because of what he's heard and because of what he's seen and maybe because of what he feels. Amen. But Christ, in a short statement, says to him, be not afraid, only believe. Hey, amen. One word from the Savior was enough, amen, to keep this man in line. Hey, amen. No matter how it felt and no matter how it looked and no matter what he was hearing others say, yeah, amen, Jairus is a wonderful, wonderful example of what it is, and no matter what is going on, amen, we don't have to lose our mind. We don't have to be filled with drama. We can just believe God that God can help us in our situation. Amen. There are way too many people who are claiming to be saved, and when things go on in their life, they get in an uproar. And I want to say today, I'm prone to do it, and you're prone to do it, but shame on all of this. Amen, because when all is said and done in this text, you say, but preacher, the girl died. A girl's gone. Amen, amen, but Jesus is there. Amen, and there's no situation, if we learn anything from this text, amen, there's no situation we go through, amen, that Christ cannot minister in. Amen. And how you feel in the moment when you get all up in an uproar. Amen. There's going to be a few days later and there's going to be some weeks down the road. Amen. You're going to look back and say God was there all along. Amen. And you made much ado about nothing. Amen. We're not trusting God, being afraid. Amen. Doubting His ability and doubting His love. Amen. And you'll come out on the other side and Jesus will say, why in the world did you make this ado? Amen. Guess I'm preaching on faith today. Amen. Much ado about nothing. Much ado about nothing. Amen. What is it that has you in an uproar this morning? Amen. What is it that you faced last year? What is it? Amen. What potentials do you have? Amen. For hardship and pain and maybe even loss. Amen. What is it that, amen, has got you down that you just, amen, are in fits today and losing your mind over? Amen. Can I say this morning that, amen, Jesus again, when He arrives in this home, the scene, amen, is one of chaos, uproar, and mayhem. Amen. And yet we find Jesus put all of that out of the house. Amen. He put all the drama queens out. Amen. All the drama, gentlemen. He said, you can't stay here. I've got something I got to do. And this man's walked with me. This man made his way to me. This man has been trusting me. And so we're getting all the drama out. We're getting all the noise out. We're getting all the tumult out. The uproar's got to be gone. And Christ began to put them out. Why? So that peace could be experienced. He did not do the miracle so long as there was an uproar of drama. Some of y'all need Jesus to do something for you and He can't do it because you refuse to let the drama go. How sad would it have been for Jairus to step up, Brother Jack, and say, oh no, Lord, that's my family and that's my friends. And they're here to comfort me. They're here to mourn for me. Amen. But Jairus, amen, understood he must let the Lord do this His way. Amen. And Christ put all of them and all of that out. Amen. So that peace could come to this man and his broken heart. Amen. I know when I preach this way, people get ticked off. Amen. Because they like making much ado about their circumstance. Your little circumstance and your little thing you're going through is no greater than anything anybody else has been through. Woe is me! Woe is me! Everybody pay me attention. Amen. Making much ado about nothing because, amen, you can get all the attention in the world what you need. Amen. It's not more attention. It's not more tears. It's, amen, not more people patting you on your little head. Amen. To make you feel better. Amen. What you need is a sovereign God. Amen. To show up and do something in your life. Amen. And I can't tell you how many times I've made ado and much ado about things that, amen, were legitimate in my life. I'm not belittling circumstances today. I've been there, I'll be there before, and you'll be there again. Amen. But can I say this morning, ain't it amazing when we come through things and we look back, amen, we got to throw our hands up and say, boy, I wasted my time making ado about nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good preaching even if I am doing it. Jairus and his wife never, as far as I read this text, if you see it different, that's, amen, your opinion. You can be wrong. Amen. But when I read this, I see a father and a mother who never seemed to get caught up in the ado. They don't seem to be the ones that, their hearts have got to be broken. I'm not saying their hearts are not broken. But there's something on the inside of them that there is a longing for peace. There is a desire that, Amen. All the chaos. I can't imagine trying to go through something like that and then had the added drama, this crowd that, amen, is all around making ado and weeping and wailing it. And yet they never seem to get caught up in that. Amen. And I'll say by way of introduction, amen, that there is something about this man's name, Jairus, that seems to testify, amen, of something very, very important. The name Jairus means, Brother Maurice, Jehovah enlightens. Amen. I don't know if this man was given that name at his birth or is something. Amen. That he was named later in life. Amen. I don't know, but I do believe that even in his name, there is a testimony of salvation. I don't know if this man in this very moment is a believer. I do know this. It seems to be in Capernaum. In Mark chapter number 1, Jesus went to the synagogue in Capernaum, of which this man was one of the rulers in that synagogue. And he was there in Mark chapter number 1. He cast out devils out of the man that was in the synagogue. A man living in that dead religion. Amen. Jairus would have been an eyewitness to that event. Amen. There are other things that Christ taught and Christ did. The man with the withered hand, amen, was healed in the synagogue at Capernaum. And Jairus would have been an eyewitness to that very miracle. This man has been an eyewitness. Amen. He's seen people that year after year after year had come to the synagogue, the house of God, for instruction and Bible reading and fellowship among the Jewish culture. Amen. He has watched those same crowd that had been sick. Amen. One by one and week by week, and appointment after appointment come in healed of their sickness and made whole of the things that, amen, had plagued them for so long. And maybe said, well, what happened? What doctor did you see? Who gave you the medicine? Who told you the cure? And they one by one would say, I met a man named Jesus. Amen. They came by my house and came by my way. Amen. I was carried to him. I was brought to him. And he did this and he did that. And I didn't meet a doctor. I met the great physician. Amen. And Jesus did this thing for me. Amen. Amen. So, amen, Jehovah enlightens. This is a man who has been witnessed to with a miracle working power, a saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And all his eyes have been opened. He understands that for a man to be saved, amen, God has to open the sinner's eyes. Amen. He has to let the light shine to where he is. Amen. There must be an enlightenment and a response to that light that has been given. Amen. Can I say today, amen, if you've been saved, if you've been enlightened by the God of glory, my friend, I'm telling you today, you've got a great Savior. Amen. He's a great Lord. And if he can save you, there's nothing God can do for you. There's no prayer request is too great. Amen. There's no situation that, my friend, is beyond his ability. Amen. Oh, if he has reached down and truly saved you. Amen. Do you realize that that is the greatest miracle that Christ has ever done for anyone? Amen. Greater than feeding hungry bellies. Amen. Greater than opening blinded eyes and causing the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak and the crippled to walk is how Christ can reach down into a sinner's life and bring the light in his darkness and rescue him. Amen. And give him new life and make him a new creature and let him feel the power of the new birth. Amen. Ain't you glad? Amen. Jesus enlightens in the plan of salvation. And if the Lord has saved you, I would remind you there, amen, he's going to teach you and I along the way, amen, that we ought not make much ado about anything.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so I want to give you some things this morning from Jairus' standpoint. Amen. If the daddy of this text wasn't making much ado, they shouldn't have been anybody else doing it. Amen. If the one that Jehovah has enlightened can tap in, amen, through this text to some things that, amen, kept him in a peaceful mindset, amen, kept him believing God, kept him, amen, from making a do. I want to learn from this man. Amen. So let me give you three things out of the text and I'm done. Number one, amen, I think the first thing that kept him from making a do, amen, is that this man believed Jesus was accessible. We know that in the beginning or the end, rather, chapter number 4, the opening of chapter number 5, and this is filled with Christ leaving Capernaum. He said, let's go to the other side. A disciple sailed, my friend, the country of the Gadarenes. And there the miracle that Christ did for the man filled with leech, amen, making him whole and setting him free from a demonic stronghold. Amen, and all that. And now verse 21 said, and when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, he's coming back. The Bible said, how much people gathered unto him and he was nigh unto the sea. And so we find there's a great multitude that is thronging the Lord. Amen, everything in this text revolves around, amen, there is a great crowd that has come to see Jesus again. Amen. And you would think in such a large crowd, amen, there wouldn't be any accessibility to the Lord. And he's only interested in great crowds. But you know what Jairus knew? Amen. It doesn't matter how big the crowd is. Amen. That man can be approached. Amen. That Savior can be accessible. I'm glad today in all the, amen, and all the billions of people that are around the world today. Amen. I'm glad I can come to the Lord. I'm glad He's accessible no matter what I'm going through and no matter what I'm facing. Amen. You say, but preacher, there's so many others. Amen. There's so many others, but He's a personal Savior. He's a personal God. I love this. Amen. In the midst of the Bible saying that much people were gathered unto him, the Bible said in verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers in the synagogue, Jairus by name. Amen. Jesus knew who he was. Amen. And Jesus had time before him. Amen. Jesus was interested. Amen. And the burden that was on this daddy's heart. Amen. I'm telling you, quit making much ado. Amen. About the things going on in your world. You say, but preacher, the doctor said this, and mom and daddy said that, and my buddies have witnessed of this, and so-and-so had this happen to them. Amen, I'm telling you today, amen, do not be afraid. Only believe, you can bank on it. Amen, you can believe it today, and Jesus is accessible.
Amen.
Amen. So we find here the coming of this man, Jairus. And Jesus took time to deal with him one on one. Say, preacher, I can't deal with it by myself. You ain't got to deal with it by yourself. You got a good Savior. You can carry every burden you ever had. Every request you've ever needed Him to answer. Every weight and every load and every care. Amen. I'm glad we have a Savior that, amen, has welcomed us. And, amen, He didn't even say you had to come with your head bowed low. Amen. He said, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. If you're saved, if you're one God has enlightened, there is a direct pathway. Amen. There is a track. Amen. That runs you to the throne of grace. You can go boldly and lay down your burdens. And the promise is He is accessible. You can find what you need at His feet. Amen. He was accessible. Amen. He was accessible. Amen. Jesus was accessible. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't feel like, amen, I can get to where the Lord is. How in the world do I fight? Amen. That He is accessible. And notice that He's accessible. Amen. In this thought, I see Jairus' descent. Amen. The Bible begins to describe him in verse 22. And what is he? He is a ruler of the synagogue. Amen. He's a ruler. He's one. Amen. That people look up to. He's a man with lofty position and preeminence. Not only in the synagogue, but in his community. This man is well looked up to. But when he comes to the Lord, he doesn't come to the Lord saying, Lord, do you know who I am? Lord, do you realize what I have done in your house and the way I have served the people of God? Oh no, notice with me his descent. It's one who is a ruler of the synagogue, the Bible said, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. I see here a humility about him. Amen. He takes his rightful place. Amen. In the presence of Christ. Oh, you got to get a hold of this. In the presence of Christ, he realized it doesn't matter what anybody thinks of me. It doesn't matter what I think of me. Amen. I must fall upon the ground at his feet. Amen. A descent, a reckoning of humility in a man that, amen, was well esteemed by everybody around him. He doesn't come saying, Lord, you owe me something. And I remind you, God don't owe us anything. If we get a hold of that, that's why a lot of people make ado about things in their life. They think God owes them something. I don't deserve what's happening to me. I don't deserve to go through what I'm going through. I don't deserve to face this in my life. Amen. This man, he makes no argument. Amen. He just simply comes to the Lord. Amen. And makes a descent. Amen. Falling upon the ground at Jesus' feet. Oh, this women, Christ's accessibility. Amen. In light of Jairus' descent, but in light of Jairus' desperation. Amen. For I see a man here, and the Bible said, and he besought him greatly. He besought him greatly. And what was he beseeching the Lord for? Saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed. And so we find a desperation. Amen. This man understands. Amen. I don't know. I'm sure. Amen. At the sign of his daughter being sick, he called for doctors. Amen. This man is well acquainted and represented in the community. He could have sent for the best of the best. Evidently, my friend, if doctors had been called, they have now. A man stood around and said, Jairus, we need to speak with you and your wife. And they sent him down. And maybe the doctor says something like this. This is beyond anything I can do. I don't know. I don't have medicine in my bag. There's not a textbook I can go to. It tells me how to fix what's wrong with her. Amen. If something don't happen, amen, she is going to die. And Jairus, my friend, I see a daddy. Amen. That has seen Jesus do it for so many others. He arises from that place. And he makes his way to the presence of the Son of God. And there, my friend, in great desperation, he begins to pour out his need before the Lord. And I say, there's something about desperation. Amen. We have accessibility to our God. Amen. Through a desperation. Amen. When it gets beyond anything you can bear, and it gets bigger than the doctors can handle, and it gets bigger than the pastor can count, so you out of. I'm glad, thank God, we have an accessible Savior. Amen. That you can carry your desperation to. This desperation moved the heart of Jesus. Amen. His desperation, but notice his dependence. The Bible said, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. You know what that statement is? That is a statement of faith. What Jairus is saying, I've made my way to you. I have approached you and I have found access. Lord, while you are accessible, I want you to know that I believe you can heal her. Amen. And notice with me, and she shall live. Amen. When he said she's at the point of death, what he is saying is, and you'll find some, amen, what seems to be discrepancies in what Matthew and Luke said. Amen. She's sick. Amen. Is so sick that Jairus is saying she's as good as dead. I don't even know if she's living now. Lord, if she is, I know you can heal her. But if she has crossed the line from this realm into eternity, I know that no matter what, that you are the one that can cause her to live again. Lord, it's beyond anything I can buy. Lord, it's beyond anything the doctors can do. And so, Lord, my faith is in Thee and Thee alone. I'm believing You. I'm trusting You. Amen. And can I say, when you come to the Lord like that, amen, you're going to find the Savior with His arms wide open. Amen. Saying, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Believe God. Believe God. Be not afraid. Only believe this. This man has a dependence in the Lord. Amen. When you're trusting God, you find access. It's hard to make a do about much anything. Why are you so tore up? I'll tell you why. You're not really dependent upon God. Amen. You're a good quiet crowd we got here today. Amen. If we believe God and accessed Him, we'll find that He was accessible. Thank God we can trust Him. In the course of the text this morning, quickly we see Jesus was accessible, but we see Jesus was attentive. Right in the middle of all of this, Christ makes a response. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him. And here's the crowd, and much people followed him and thronged him. And then verse number 25 interjects the story we'll preach from on next Sunday. But a certain woman, amen, this woman having an issue of blood, comes to the Lord believing herself, if I can touch but the hem of His garment, He don't even have to go home with me. He don't even have to acknowledge me. If I can get a hold of the hem of His garment, and I know that He can make me whole. Amen. And that's exactly how the story went. Amen. In the midst of Jairus having a need, in the midst of Jairus having believed and found the Lord to be accessible, in the midst of him bringing the Lord back to his need, there is an interruption in the middle of all of that. Amen. The clock is ticking and time is running out. And seemingly Jesus gets distracted, having turned his attention to certain woman. Amen. And a conversation ensues. And yet Jairus just stands there. Amen. Jairus is patiently waiting. Amen. Jairus, no doubt in his heart, is thinking, I need him to come. I know this woman needs something. I know there's others that have needs, but my baby girl is dying. Amen. In the middle of all of him watching all that is taking place. Amen. Notice what the Bible said. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler, verse 35, of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? All of a sudden, there'd have been a temptation to frustration in the life of Jairus. What do you mean she's dead? What do you mean she's dead? Had the Lord, and we know when Mary and Martha sent from the Lord, amen, and the Lord showed up 4 days after that Lazarus had been dead, amen, and there we find, amen, that they indicted him, saying, if thou hast been here, thou couldest have healed him, amen, and they thought it was beyond his control, and no doubt maybe that would have been a temptation for Jairus, amen, that the Lord, here I come to the Lord, amen, I express to him what I need, I'm believing him to do it, and now he's been interrupted, he's gotten distracted, and the temptation would have been to think the Lord didn't really care. Y'all ever been there? Amen. But notice what the Bible said in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Nobody had to tell Jesus. Jairus didn't have to say, Lord, my daughter died. Oh no, you see all along the way while he's being thrown by the crowd. Amen. While another individual finds the Lord is accessible to her as well. The Lord all the while is listening and he's watching and he's looking. How many of y'all know today that our Lord, he can take care of all of us at the very same time. Amen. He can be dealing with one person's sickness while dealing with another's tragedy. Amen. He can be answering one prayer for this woman while doing it for this other child of God. Amen. You know what that tells me? That Jesus was attentive. Amen. That's why Jairus didn't fall to the trap of making a do and getting filled with the drama and joining in. Amen. With the phony display of grief. Amen. He knew that Christ had already proved that. Amen. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he's watching me. Amen. He can keep in care for this woman and feeding the birds and giving this person what they need, and all the while, amen, he knows what's going on in my life. I remind you today, make no ado about anything. Amen. Because you have an attentive Savior. He's never had. Amen. Listen, we go to him in prayer. We have not because we ask not. We don't ask to give him information. We don't ask and make requests because he doesn't know. He is a God that knows the end from the beginning. Amen. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. He sees it all in one big picture. He knows what's going on in your life.
Yes,
sir. Said, preacher, nobody knows. If I don't spread it and tell it, nobody will know. And I know there's a place for shouldering one another's burdens, but amen, you go and you read that text where Paul gave it in Galatians. He also said, let every man bear his own burden.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, some things you just gotta keep to yourself. Because if you share it, it'll make a big ado. And it'll get your mind off the fact that your Savior's attentive and already knows what you're going through. Amen. Jesus was accessible. Jesus was attentive. Ain't you glad he knows? I've never gone to the Lord and said, Lord, here's what I'm up against. And the Lord scratch his head and go, what are you talking about? He always knows. He always knows.
Yes, sir.
Jesus was accessible and attentive, but I believe Jairus believed that Jesus was amazing. Somewhere on the inside of him, he's flesh and he's prone. I believe that is why the statement is made in verse 36. Be not afraid. I think the Lord in him being attentive was not only attentive to his need, but was attentive to what this man was being tempted to do. And so the Lord gave him a word. Brother Larry, be not afraid. Only believe. Believe in that moment, Jairus said, I do believe, Lord. Lord, I do believe. I don't know how. I've never seen it done before. I've never even heard tell of something like this, amen, being fixed. But Lord, I believe if there's any way it can be done, if there's anyone who can do it, Lord, I'm banking on the fact that it's you that can do it. Amen. And so Jairus doesn't say, Lord, there's no use. Amen. You see, had he not believed Jesus was amazed, then Brother Larry, he would have never finished the trip with Christ. And he said, Lord, it's too late. I'll go home. And we'll do, and we'll make a tumult, and we'll weep and cry, and we'll bury my baby girl, and we'll go on with life. But my friend, he believed greater things. Amen. He believed that Jesus could still do something. Amen. In such a tragic situation. Amen. He believed that the Son of God was amazing. Amen. May I say, Jesus did not disappoint. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He gets there, and of course the rebuke of this. Amen. These bunch of drama phony people. Amen. Bunch of attention seekers. He said, if I'm going to do something, Jairus, they got to go. So they put him out of the house. He silences all the flutes. Amen. He makes them dry their little tears. There Christ stands with a father and a mother whose hearts have been broken. Tears have been in their eyes. And yet through it all, they're believing that Jesus can do something. And so my friend, with that mother and that father and with Peter and James and John, a son of God simply steps to the plate. Amen. And says, Talitha Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. One of Mark's favorite words, and straightway the damsel arose. She got up. Amen. Why? Because when Jesus speaks, it's amazing. When Jesus begins to move in a situation, amen, great things are able to happen. Amen. Can I remind you today that we do not have a God that, amen, is limited in power. He's not limited in what He's able to do. Amen. He is a God that can do anything that needs to be done. And when this girl arose and walked, amen, the Bible said they were astonished with a great astonishment. He did what only He could do. They had never seen this happen before. Let me tell you something about your Savior today. All the while and all the times we make ado about things, make ado about nothing in the end. Amen. Our God has the power that says, if you'll just put the drama out, I can work in your situation. Now, I can't tell you how many times, Brother Jerry, God has amazed me time and time and time and time again. He doesn't do little things. He does big things. I've had things you would have never even known about. If you did know about it, you could have never done anything about. Jesus, my friend, was accessible. Jesus was aware and attentive to what I was going through. If I would get the drama out and put down fear and only believe, amen, I'm here to be a witness and testify to you today. Amen, Jesus has done things that I know only Jesus could do. Amen. I've got some things I need the Lord to do in this upcoming year. Amen, as long as Jesus ain't come back yet, there are things I'm trusting Him to do that I can't do, that you can't do, that we can't do for one another. But I believe we can believe that Jesus is amazing enough at whatever we need done in our life, whatever burden we need lifted, whatever prayer we need answered, whatever child we need saved, whatever family issue we need resolved, our Savior is big enough and great enough and amazing enough to get it done. Do you believe that? Because this year it's going to bring some things in your life. But you're going to have to say, am I going to make a do about this? Or am I going to believe God?
God knows there's enough drama in this world. There's enough drama in most churches to drown out the powerful working hand of our God. Amen. Amen. Save the drama for your mama. Amen. Y'all heard that statement before? Sissy said, don't bring me your drama. Amen. Amen. Are y'all listening? Amen. Don't give your drama to nobody. Let it go. Believe God. You've got access. He's attentive. And if you'll believe Him, He'll do great things that will astonish you with great astonishment. Amen. Hallelujah. The story ends. Jesus charged them, said, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody what I've done. Then He said, y'all give this youngin' something to eat. Jesus cared about her sustained life and strength. Ain't you glad God cares? Somebody said, oh, that's just a little old 12-year-old girl. She don't count much. To Jesus, she did. To Jesus. Jesus said, I come to this house to raise this youngin' and I give her something to eat. I'm glad Jesus cares. You know what we learn in all this, these verses, whether it's Jairus or the woman with the issue of blood, if there's anything we learn beyond that Christ is able, it is that we have a caring Savior. We have a caring Savior. Say, preacher, I got a lot of drama. Jesus cares about you. He don't want your life being lived in all that. If you'll get to Him, get Him involved in the situation, you'll be amazed what Jesus can do. Let's stand together.